Yes.
Peter.
Oh, it's you, Father.
Is Elizabeth there?
Sorry, I didn't catch that. This is an awfully bad line.
Well, there's a lot of noise coming from the bar.
I'm sorry?
I said there's a lot of noise coming from the bar.
Bar? What bar? Father, where are you speaking from?
The Wagoners, naturally.
Well, what are you... Father, have you been drinking?
I've had one or two. To steady my nerves. That's understandable, isn't it?
Why exactly are you ringing?
I told you, you didn't listen. I want to talk to Elizabeth.
Well, she's in bed.
In bed?
We're having an early night.
It's not closing time yet.
Father, we've had a trying day. Jeremy...
Can't you get her up?
Hmm?
Elizabeth, tell her I want to speak to her professionally.
Professionally?
Yes, I've spoken to some reporter girl from the Herald here, but I'd prefer to go to the top. Peter, I've seen an unidentified flying object.
Now, look, Father, I'm not really in the mood for jokes.
It's not a joke, damn it. I saw it with my own eyes.
Well, in that case, my advice to you is to get somebody to see you over the road
you
and go quiet.
You think I'm drunk, don't you?
Father, you're speaking from the Wagoners. You admit you've been drinking. You say you've seen an unidentified
flying object. I tell you. I did see it. Over the heath. And everybody thinks it's a big joke. Except Donald Fitzroy. He knows about these things. He wants all the details. I'm about to go through them with him now. But I wanted to tell Elizabeth first. She can tell the world.
Yes. Well, not tonight, Father.
Now, look here, Peter.
I'll get her to ring you tomorrow, all right?
Peter.
Good night, Father. Flying saucers. That's all we need.
Yes.
You're not crying, are you?
No, not anymore.
I obviously said the wrong thing.
I think it all got too much for me, that's all.
Okay.
Just because Peter isn't like you doesn't mean... Oh, poor man. What it must have cost him to bring Jeremy back like that. He dotes on Jeremy. What I'm trying to say is... Peter made a big sacrifice tonight, and I'd rather you didn't make fun of him.
I think I've got the message.
I didn't get a chance to thank him either.
Well, I asked him if he'd wait till you put Jeremy to bed, but he said no.
Oh, didn't want to prolong the agony.
Oh.
You know, I just couldn't believe my eyes when I opened the door and saw them both standing there, hand in hand. Jeremy half asleep. I wonder what on earth they wanted. And then Jeremy smiled and said... Daddy's brought me home. We must go round there tomorrow and thank him properly.
We?
Yes, both of us, Matt, please.
Whatever you say.
And no rows from now on, understand? Peter must be allowed access whenever he wants. No more tug of love. Just two happy families that Jeremy can feel part of. Yes?
Absolutely. Happy love?
Completely. I feel he's mine. For the first time ever, I feel he's my son.
Oh, do shut up, Sam. Come on, be a sport. Goochie-goochie-goo. Things can't be that bad, can they?
Yes. They can.
Bye, baby bunting. Daddy's gone a-hunting.
Well, Mummy has, actually.
I tell you what. Why don't we look at the pretty lights,
From the Wagoners.
You see? Down there. That's the Wagoners. That's where she is. She's gone there for a little break. From you. Now, you just look at those pretty lights.
Oh. Oh, I heard him crying as I come along.
Yeah, you did. He's just stopped. He's looking at the lights.
Want me to take him?
I think perhaps we'd better just leave well alone.
Fancy a coffee?
Please.
Sorry I've been so long.
That's okay. After all, the general idea was that you should get away from it all.
Well, I didn't, in fact.
Eh?
Well, thanks to you, I got away from his lordship. And I just had the one lager and lime, but... Well, you know, once a newshound, always a newshound. So I'm sitting there, more or less minding my own business, and thinking up something really rotten to say to Cliff Edwards, when in comes one Arthur Tyson Esquire, looking very flushed, and announcing to the old pub he's just seen a flying saucer.
Arthur Tyson.
As ever was. Father-in-law of our much-revered lady editor.
Yes, but Arthur's not the sort of chap who's given to flights of fancy.
Right. So out comes me little old notebook. And if I can read my own shorthand, I'll have a story all ready for Monday morning.
Where did he see it?
On the heath.
The heath? But what was he doing?
Oh, who cares? I've had enough of all that for one night. Oh, we're out of sugar. Does it matter?
No, I suppose not. Crikey.
What's the matter?
Babies get heavy, don't they?
Put him down.
I daren't.
I'll put him down then. Come on, hand him over.
There you go.
Hello, pig face. Time to go bye-byes and all that jazz. Hey!
What's the matter?
He's soaking. Thought you were going to change his nappy.
Oh, I did. His and Moonshine's. But he promptly wet his again. And my trousers.
I'll just have to change you again, then, won't I? Can't go to sleep all wet, can we? Let's see what we can find. Oh, can you see that the coffee, Dick, and kettle's boiling?
Righto.
One clean nappy. Lie down here, then. Mummy's getting things sorted.
Ought to be hitting the road soon, actually. Got to press my flannels yet. For tomorrow.
Oh, the old lever on Willoughby, is it?
That's it. Down in Hayward's Heath. Here's your coffee.
Char, put it down there, would you? Oh, good. You do a lousy nappy.
What's the matter with it?
It's so loose it's down round his knees.
I haven't had a lot of experience, Debbie.
I showed you before I went, didn't I? Oh, you haven't used the nappy liners either, have you?
Hmm?
The bits you put inside to keep his bottom from getting wet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tell him that when he gets nappy rash. He yells all the time as it is when there's nothing the matter with him. How do you think he'd be if he had something to really complain about? Oh, shut up! Suck your dummy! There. Do you know what gets up my nose? It's the way you all think it's so easy. I'll change his nappy for him. I'll do his bottle. And there you are, thinking to yourselves how simple it is and what a prune I am because I can't seem to get it right. And then when it comes to it, you're a sight more useless than what I am.
I never said you were useless.
Where'd you put the nappy you took off?
Yellow bucket.
Was it dirty?
Just wet.
So why did you put it in with the dirty ones? I told you which bucket was which.
They were both crying, Debbie.
Look, shove off, will you?
Eh?
Go and press your flannels, boil your edges, go away and leave me alone. Blimey, Sam. Don't do this to me.
Ooh, sugar.
Who's that?
Oh, hello, George. It's me. I fell over this blasted timber.
You all right, Arthur?
Still in one piece, I suppose.
Why didn't you put the landing light on?
Because the bulb was gone.
Oh.
It went last night. Miss Richmond was going to tell you.
Yes, but I'll put one in the morning. You sure you're all right, Arthur?
I barked my shins, that's all. This wretched timber. I put my sitting room light on. Well, that's better.
Yes, it is for your kitchenette, Arthur.
I know what it's for. Well, you'd better come in now you're here.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Been over at Peter's, have you?
No. Why?
Oh, just assumed.
I dined at the Wagoners, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yes.
Yes, since my flat looks like a timber yard.
Mm.
And Donald Fitzroy can be quite an engaging companion, especially on the subject of ufology.
You what?
Ufology.
And what's that when it's at home?
The study of unidentified flying objects.
Oh, I see.
I take it you are a skeptic, George.
You could say that, yes.
And if I were to tell you that I myself, this very evening, had sighted such an object over the heath, what would you say then?
I would ask you what you'd been drinking.
I can see that you and my son are tarred with the same brush.
Oh, really?
I telephoned him after the event. He, too, accused me of being inebriated. And rang off, if you please.
Arthur, you're not telling me seriously that you saw a UFO.
Oh, but I am, George. A spherical object, gleaming. And it hovered for several seconds. And then disappeared at an incredible speed.
It must have been an aeroplane.
Donald Fitzroy doesn't think so, and he is very knowledgeable on the subject. Mm. In fact, he is a member of the North London UFO group, and he's asked me to take him to the point on the heath where I made the sightings. I suggest you come with us Sunday morning.
Oh.
After you've listened to Donald for a few minutes, you'll be laughing on the other side of your face.
Hello, Dickon. Still up?
No, I went to bed a couple of hours ago, actually.
Ha-ha. Will I get my head bitten off if I ask whether you're playing cricket tomorrow?
I am.
And that's why you're pressing your flannels?
Your powers of deduction leave me speechless.
Why do you use brown paper?
Makes a better crease. Little tip I learnt from Father.
Do better creases help you score more runs?
No, Sophie, but it does boost one's ego.
Just wondered. I might just make you a mug of cocoa if you were a little less prickly.
Yes, I am, aren't I?
No. Been one of those days.
It's been one of those evenings.
I see.
Debbie threw me out because I put a nappy in a yellow bucket instead of a red one.
How dreadful.
Well, she seemed to think so.
Oh, and you were cut to the quick.
Yes. It made a nasty dent in my halo. I felt that big. Got back here and just crawled in under the door.
Yeah.
Taught me one thing, though.
What's that?
Never volunteer for anything.
Poor Dickon.
I'll survive. No Rob this evening?
No, Rocky's back.
Ah.
Turned up at the restaurant all smiles, and they went off hand in hand into the sunset. Made me want to cry.
You're a romantic. That's your trouble.
Yes, I know. Anyhow, guess who brought me home?
Who?
Nobody. I came on my own. Unaccompanied. Solo.
For the second time.
Right.
And how was it?
Not too bad. One or two places I walked in the middle of the road for a while, but... Generally, okay.
Tell you what.
What?
As a reward for your pluck and endeavour, I shall make the cocoa.
I thought you weren't going to do any more volunteering.
That's right. So you can answer the telephone.
Who can that be at this time of night?
There's only one way you'll find out.
Hello? Yes, it is. Who is it? Oh, hold on. It's for you, Dickon.
Who is it?
Trudy Window.
Ah. Would you ask her what she wants?
Paying a call, are you?
Yeah, sort of.
Hello? Yeah, I'm afraid Dickon's not able to come to the phone just now. Could I give him a message? Oh, party. At your place. Yeah? Now? Oh, and he's invited. Yeah, I'll tell him. Thank you. Bye-bye. She said...
I heard.
Yeah. You going? Oh, go on, Dickon. I don't mind making my own cocoa.
Sorry to have to ask you into the kitchen. I'm in the middle of getting some lunch.
Oh, don't mind us.
You just go ahead.
Well, make yourself comfortable anyway.
Yes.
Liz has taken the children shopping,
I did think of ringing, and then I decided not to. I do want things to be as friendly as possible, Peter. I'd like to feel we can drop in here any time. And, of course, we hope you'll feel the same way about coming to the old bakery, all of you. Mm.
Peter, we really just came to say thank you. We know it took a lot of doing.
Well, it was what Jeremy wanted. I shall miss him, of course, but I can't pretend I haven't got my hands full here with Liz and the girls and a house to look after. And I do have other irons in the fire. Mr. Tully and I have a joint project on the go. In fact, I have to go over to the boatyard tomorrow to discuss a few things. Maybe Jeremy'd like to come, too.
Oh, we're taking him down to Maidenhead, Peter, spending the day with the Pulbrights.
Oh, well, that's fine.
I'm sorry, Peter. It's all laid on now. We can't very well...
Oh, that's all right. Nobody owns Jeremy. And it's only by making him feel free that we'll be able to make him feel happy. ¶¶